Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Affney, your host and guide for what I think of as, well, an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Few people have more intelligence or have brought it to bear with greater effect for a longer period of time than our first guest. He is Dr. Daniel Pipes, the founder and president of the Middle East Forum. He has served in various capacities in 5 presidential administrations. He has been an accomplished and very prodigious author. He is, among other things, a driving force behind something we'll talk a little bit about called the Congressional Israel Victory Caucus, and just an all-around go-to guy on the challenges we're facing, particularly in the Middle East, but more generally in terms of our national security as well. Daniel Pipes, welcome back, my friend. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were my very first radio guest. So I thank you for returning to the scene of the crime. It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you for the new invitation and for the kind words.
My pleasure. Let me ask you about a subject that you have been writing about of late at the Washington Times, but that I know you have been tracking carefully for many, many years. And I must say, it confounds me. And that is the relationship between Iran and Turkey. Iran, of course, an unabashed enemy of the United States. Turkey, at least putatively, one of our close allies. What is happening and what does it portend, Dr. Pipes?
Well, I think there's a grand switch underway, which is to say that the Iranian government, which has been hostile for close to 40 years, is, I believe, rickety and could fall at any moment. It could also take some time. But it is in the process of moving towards us. And should there be a counter-revolution, I think that we will find in Iran a quite friendly country. Contrarily, Turkey, which is, as you point out, formerly an ally of the United States, is hostile and getting more hostile all the time under the leadership of Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And I believe that it has more sound fundamentals, that the form of Islamism there is more intelligent, is economically more accomplished, and therefore has a brighter future as an Islamist government and therefore as an enemy of the United States. And therefore I see in, say, 10, 15 years, Iran being quite friendly, and Turkey being the great problem of the region.
This is a fascinating prognosis. Let me drill down on both parts of that. To what extent can we help foster the kind of transformation in Iran of which you speak? Is it by perpetuating the so-called Joint Cooperative Plan of Action, about which we'll be speaking more with Fred Flights momentarily? Or is that over the side? Are there things that we need to be doing that delegitimate this regime and support those who may wish to replace it with something far friendlier?
Well, you have sketched out the new approach I would advocate, yes. I would, as you suggested, start putting pressure on the regime and helping the opponents of the regime.
Something we might have done under Barack Obama, but he let the opportunity pass in favor of rapprochement with the Iranian regime.
But to be fair, something we might have done since the Carter administration, and no presidential administration has done that. So this would be a fundamental shift. We have always accepted the Iranian regime.
So let's turn then to Turkey. Turkey is, I'm told, a country we cannot remove from NATO, and therefore we will find ourselves as this metastasizing cancer of the Erdogan, incipient caliphate continues to metastasize. What is it that we can do, Daniel Pipes, in light of what you're forecasting is a potentially quite serious strategic problem for us there?
You're right. Those who devised NATO some 65 years ago, almost 7 years ago, I didn't think about in pushing anyone out. It wasn't something that came to mind. So there's no formal apparatus to exclude, to dump a member. But what one can do is not invite them, not share intelligence with them, not sell them arms, and generally make them feel unpopular and unwelcome and not really part of the club, which the Turks are themselves doing. They're now on track to buy a very major missile defense system from the Russians. It's completely incompatible on a technical level, and it's completely incompatible on a political level. So this is happening bit by bit.
At their hand, but we are powerless, it appears, to facilitate their removal. It's a very, very troubling development, needless to say. And Daniel, one aspect of it is that the Erdogan regime, as you know so well, has been very intimately involved, if not very substantially responsible for the invasion, I think is no understatement, the invasion of Europe by Muslim, many of them, military-age males that have been increasingly compounding what you've described as Merkel's historical folly, of course, referring to Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany. Talk about that bit of Turkish hostility and what it's doing to Europe at the moment.
Well, the Turkish government isn't fundamentally responsible for the situation. It's the civil wars taking place in Syria, and as well as many other problems in Yemen and Iraq and Lebanon and Libya and elsewhere. What the Turkish government is doing is saying to the Europeans and Germany in particular, we've got several million refugees and we can turn off and on the spigot as we wish, so you better do what we want. That's really the role. It's not that they produced and created the refugee problem, but they are exploiting it. And it was almost exactly 2 years ago that Merkel said, the borders are open. Anybody who wants to come to Germany may do so. And a flood of illegal, what had been illegal, but now were, I guess, legal migrants entered into Europe and headed towards Germany and secondarily towards Sweden, tertiarily towards Austria and France and elsewhere. I think this was an astonishing decision that she made that will have major repercussions for many years to come.
And how would you characterize those as we speak? I mean, it's evident that some of the chickens have already come home to roost, more maybe in the offing. But where are we right now with respect to the effects of this historic mistake?
What we're seeing is increasing polarization in Europe, whether it be West versus East, or elite versus population, or populist versus establishment. An increasing polarization of views on the migration, particularly by Muslims from the Middle East, or in general Muslims, who are the most difficult to assimilate, and who come with their own notions of being a superior civilization. And so this argument, which has been underway for decades now, just became that much more agitated and intense as a result of Merkel 2 years ago. And one sees all sorts of new fissures developing in Europe. Particularly striking is the one between East and West, former Soviet countries and former American allies, one might say. Their views towards this are dramatically different.
And what is happening within their societies, of course, is somewhat different as well, and particularly with respect to those erstwhile allies of ours, particularly ominous for Western civilization, I think. Daniel Pipe, there is so much more to talk with you about, but we're not going to do it today. Alas, there is no more time, but I thank you so much for the great work that you and your colleagues do at the Middle East Forum and for your contributions to all of our understanding of these extraordinary developments and what they might portend for not only the moment, but for the future as well. I know you'll keep it up, and I hope you'll also keep coming back to us. Thank you for being our first guest, as well as the current one. Thank you also for your good friendship. We'll talk with you again very soon.